You know why? The Lord is our light. But the scripture also says that our Father, the Most High, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. So when you run into a situation where fear tries to overcome you, you confess the word over that situation. Say that my Father, hallelujah, the great I am, has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's another. Boy, we just learned this song a week ago. Do it again. And there was a verse on here that says that your promise still stands, for great is your faithfulness. I am still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, praise the Lord. Pastor, I thank you. Okay. Pastor, thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the word of God. Jesus, the Father spoke about his son and said that this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. We are an extension of Christ Jesus. Amen. So the scripture says that it's faith that pleases God. We use faith as an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ to operate and to flow into his kingdom. So we thank God that our pastor has laid a sound foundation of faith here in this house so that we can partake of the kingdom of God, not this world. Our faith works from the kingdom of God into this earth to change our situations and circumstances for the better. Amen. He has laid a firm foundation in our lives. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. So, whew. Amen. Praise the Lord. Steve, we got thumbs up there, brother? All right. Well, Father, we give thanks to you today, Lord God. Thank you for giving us an opportunity, Lord, first of all, to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. The Word of God says that you inhabit the praises of your people, Father. And as our praises go up to you, Father, as an incense, Father, of a sweet-smelling fragrance, Lord, you said that when our praises go up, your blessing flows down in us, Father. So we thank you, Lord God, this morning for giving us an ear to hear. Thank you for giving us a heart to receive your word, Father. Your word makes a difference in our life, Father. And we're so glad that the word of God came in the flesh and revealed himself to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Since it's faith that pleases the good Lord, the Most High, and faith works in the kingdom of God, I decided to title this message, Kingdom Bound. Okay? Hallelujah. This kingdom that God has released in the earth, that he began with Adam, is still flourishing right now. Okay? Not through the system of the world's government, but through the system of the kingdom of God. Amen? Which is in us, in you. Amen. The hope of glory. So I'd just like to share some thoughts about the kingdom and see how we can how it's our responsibility to connect to it faithfully and receive the results that God has designed from the beginning. Okay. So I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 1. Okay. You got your Bibles, open up and go there. I know you know the story, but it never hurts to reread. Amen. We know that in the beginning, the scripture says that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. In the beginning, God created what? In the beginning, God created the heavens. No. In the beginning, God created the earth. No. It said in the beginning, God did what? So his purpose was for the heavens and the earth to work together. Okay. There's no separation of that. Okay. Verse 26, Genesis 1, it says, well, God went through the order of creating the earth. He made the the heavens. He made the water. He made the land. He made the sun, the moon, the animals, the trees, the vegetation. Then we come to verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Amen? So we see that it was God's plan and purpose was to, first of all, create you and I, mankind, in his image and in his likeness. Amen? It was also God's purpose was to put us on the earth. Amen? And then he gave us dominion and rulership over the earth. And he said, let them have dominion, not just Adam. He said, let them. Who's them? Who's he referring to? Adam and who else? Eve. Amen. Let them have dominion. You ladies should be excited about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So we see that it was God's design and purpose was to put us on the earth, to have dominion and rulership over the earth. So was it his purpose? It wasn't his plan for us to stay in heaven. Amen? If it was, he'd have left us there, right? But scripture says he put us on the earth and gave us dominion over the earth. Okay? Okay, so let's push on a little further. So we know that, let's go to chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. It says, so on the sixth day he created man. Okay, then it says on the seventh day, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the Sabbath day from all his works, which he had done. Then God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it because he had rested from all his works, which God had created. So God had everything finished and set up day 1 through 7. Well, verse 7, same chapter, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So we see where God wanted the man, right? He said he put him in the garden. Amen? Okay, and then it goes on to say that, let me reread that. It says that, and out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Okay, so now we see that he provided man food, amen, from the tree. Then it says the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see two trees in that garden along with other trees that was pleasant to the eyes for food. All right, go over to verse, same chapter. Let's move over to verse 17. Okay, so God gives a commandment to the man before he even began him. He says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely. Okay, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Amen? So we see that God gave him a diet as to what tree he can partake of. But we know this, how the story ended. Adam didn't obey that command. And as a result, he never had the opportunity to eat from the tree of life. He partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is the result of it today, from Adam all the way up to this day. But thank God he had a plan. Amen? I said, thank God he had a plan, the story. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so let's move on here. So I wrote this down. It says that God's plan for man was to extend his heavenly kingdom government to the earth through the principle of colonization. And that just simply means you're taking one kingdom or one system of government and moving it to another, from heaven to earth. Okay, it says. Then it says, now that was God's purpose. Now it says, man's assignment was to establish the influence and culture of heaven on earth by representing the nature, values, and morality of God in the earth. Okay, let me read that again. It says, man's assignment was to represent God's nature and his value and his morality in the earth. Okay, it says in this way, God's heavenly rule would manifest itself on earth through his extended image in mankind. Okay, which is us. Amen. So in other words, they asked Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And his reply was, this is a good order to pray. He says it, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We worship your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. You see that connection? So it was God's plan for this earth to resemble heaven through his offsprings, which is you and I. That was his plan from the beginning, and he's never forgot that plan. Okay, he's still working that thing in here. We're going to see the fruit of that. We're going to see the scriptures that foretells that. Okay, okay. So of course, verse 15, we see that Adam and Eve, they committed treason, so to speak. God came down and dealt with the situation. He dealt with all three of them. He dealt with the devil, because the devil tempted Eve. Amen. And he dealt with Adam. And he dealt with Eve. Okay, so let's see what he said to the devil. Okay, verse chapter 3, Genesis, verse 15. Okay, it says, then the Lord God took the man. Whoa, okay, I'm in a second. Excuse me. All right, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 15. He says, he spoke to the devil. Well, let me read from the beginning, 14, I'm sorry. It says, God says, because you have done this, he says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. He says, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Okay, he's not talking about Mary. He's not talking about Eve. He's talking about Mary. Or Miriam, okay? He says, and between your seed and her seed, okay? He says, Mary's seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We know that the devil's under our feet, right? Okay? All right, so that was the curse God gave to mankind. He says that she would bear seed. The woman. So let's move further to identify that seed. All right. All right. So let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9. Okay. Verse 6. You all know this scripture, but it's good to share it. Amen. Because we're going to see how God began to introduce a seed into the earth. He spoke it then, and he prophesied it again through one of the prophets. I said Isaiah chapter 6, no, chapter 9. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Val. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now we're talking about the kingdom of God, amen? We're talking about a kingdom that he purposed us to partake of. We saw what happened in the first kingdom. It never really flourished like he purposed it to at the beginning, amen? Okay, chapter 9, Isaiah verses 6, and I'm going to read through 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it in judgment with and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay. Verse 6 says that a child was born and a son was given. I heard a brother share it this way. He says that Mary birthed the child. But God gave the Son, okay, two in one, flesh and spirit, okay? Then it goes on to say, it says that, and on his shoulder, okay, he says that the government, his, it says that, and it says, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He is not referring to the government of America. He's not referring to the government of the current state of Israel right now. He's not referring to the government of Egypt or the United Kingdom. Okay? No, this is the government that he's referring to. It says that, and his title is going to give you an idea of this government. It says that, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Okay, amen. The Mighty God. That government, that's what he's referring to. Okay? That the Son of God is coming into service to reestablish. Amen? Not the government of this country. This is totally different. Okay? That's good news. You need to shout about that, because that's how Jesus, our Lord, was able to operate on this earth. Everything he did, he didn't pull that from the earth itself. He pulled it out of heaven, because he said he wanted the heaven to resemble the earth. And that's how the Lord Jesus did it. Everybody else thought it was, they said it was miracles. It was wonderful. It was amazing. Could no one else do it? Lord, teach us these things. Show us. The only way he can show you is through the word and through the power of the kingdom of God. Amen. This is our kingdom, church. These things belong to us. Okay. We're going to see this. But anyway. Okay. Then it's verse 7. It says that he says that upon the throne of David. Well, we know that Jesus was known to be the son of David, right? Amen. When David was in, when his kingdom was thriving, God had wrested Israel from all their wars. And at that particular moment, the scripture says that all 12 tribes of Israel were one at that moment. Okay? They were thriving and blessings were just flowing. Well, we knew what happened. David died. Solomon came along. Amen. He asked God to give me wisdom to rule your, to govern your people. And because the Lord was pleased with that, he blessed Solomon with not only wisdom to rule his people, but he blessed him with all these riches. The Bible says he was the richest man on earth at that time. Candace, the queen, she was rich. No, Sheba, Candace, whoever, Queen of Sheba. She came to see the riches of Solomon. And when she got there, she was amazed. She didn't take into account how rich this man was. This man was rich because of the kingdom of God. Amen. God poured it on him. Amen. God told us that. He says that it has not entered into the heart of man the things which he has prepared for those who love him. But he said that he will reveal these things to us as by his spirit. Amen. What things? Things that in the kingdom that he says that he's given to us freely. We can't seem to understand that concept. We think we got to work for everything. No, no, no. Well, we go to work. Okay, we do that. But when it refers to the kingdom of God, all you do is to partake of that kingdom. You have to be a part of the righteousness of that kingdom, like Solomon was. And as a result, he blessed it. Not just to bless Solomon, but others too. Okay? So, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Okay, so, amen. Where else stop at? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Amen. So that's an idea of the kingdom. Let me say this. Okay, yeah, it says that. It says, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. He says, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When he said from that time forward and from ever, he was speaking about the birth of Christ. You know, Jesus says that. He says that from the time of Moses, who wrote the law, up into the prophets. Let me read, excuse me. Let's try to quote it. Let me go there first, okay? Luke. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I think 1720. Let me get that. I've gotten ahead of myself, but I'm going to go there, okay? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke 1720. Thank you, Lord. Hold on. 1720. Come on. Nope, that's not it. Hold on. I'm in John. No wonder. I'm sorry. come to John, okay? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Nope. It's Luke 16:16. Here it is. I'm going to read it to you. Luke 16:16. It reads, it says, and the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Okay? He says, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing to get into it. Can you see the connection with Isaiah's prophecy about how that, let me go back to Isaiah's prophecy. Let me say it again. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You all right? Okay, you got to search the scriptures, amen? Like the Bereans, make sure these things are true, okay? It says that from that time forward, even forever, he said the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that scripture's confirmed that, okay? The kingdom of God, all right? So, amen. Okay, so now let's head over to Luke. I was already there. Go over to Luke, chapter 1, verses, thank you, Father, verses 1. We're going to read chapter 1, excuse me. We're going to read verses 30 to 33, okay? Now, this is the introduction of the kingdom of our God, of our Savior, amen, and his Christ. Thank you, Father. Are you there? Okay. So, well, let me read up. I'm going to start at verse 26. I'm going to read on down. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. This virgin's name was Mary, or back in that day, Miriam. Okay. It says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 30. He says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Or back in that day, Yahuwah. Okay, the word Yah simply means God, right? Hua, Shua means salvation. Okay? It says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. You hear that go again? He says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, 12 tribes. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Amen? Then it says, then the angel said to Mary, how can these things be true? I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Hear that name go again. Son of God. Unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given. Amen? All right. So, we know that from that point, the scripture says that as this child began to grow, the scripture says that the child began to grow in wisdom and in the grace of the Most High. Amen? Then the scripture says that it was normal for them to celebrate the feast of the Passover every year. The Passover, of course, is when the children of Israel was led out of Egypt, put the blood on the door, and they partook of communion. And they went, that's where we get communion from, blood, food, which represent the body of Christ, the blood of Jesus. Amen. So the Bible says that the Lord pulled them out of Egypt through that event. And then it goes on to say that when they went to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover, this was maybe a 3 or 4 day feast. So when they were on their way back home, they got halfway home and they realized that Yeshua, Jesus, wasn't in the company because there was a lot of people, okay, there. So they goes back to Jerusalem, and where did they find the Lord Jesus Christ? Scripture says that they found him in the temple, in the synagogue, amen? In there, speaking with the scribes and the Pharisees, amen? And they were amazed at the wisdom. that the Lord Jesus had and his interest in the kingdom. He's only 12 then. All right, so we fast forward. The scripture says that, it says that, and the Lord says that, and the man called out, and the Lord God called out of the wilderness, John the Baptist. We knew who he was. We knew what his job was. He was John the Baptizer. It says that the word of God came to John the Baptizer in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and the remission of sins. So the people says, well, are you the one? John says, no, I'm not the one. He said, I just simply come to baptize you with water. But he says that there is one who is mightier than me. He's coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Amen. Holy Ghost and with power. Amen. Okay. So now we see Jesus' purpose. We know that Jesus, he comes to meet John. He gets baptized to John. The Bible says that when he went down in the water and he came up from the baptism, the scripture says that the heavens opened up and a dove descended upon him in the form, the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Amen. And the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And then a voice from heaven came and said that this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we know then he leaves from the baptism with the Holy. The Bible says this, said that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested or tempted. I like to use the word tested because Pastor Bill, he sells cars. And oftentimes when new vehicles come into the dealership, they'll take them out to the track to see if this brand new vehicle can perform according to its design. Amen. So here, this is what we had Satan doing with the Lord Jesus. Not tempting him. He couldn't tempt him. But he can test him to see if he is the one. So we know the first temptation was he dealt with Jesus' appetite. Jesus was, 40 days in a fast? That's the first place he hit him. He says, hey, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus' reply was, he said that man shall what? Not live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was the first temptation, the appetite. Okay? The next one was his authority. No, his motive. He wanted to see where Jesus' mindset was at. So the scripture says, I have to read this. I'm not going to try to memorize it. You all kind of know the second temptation, but let me read it. Thank you, Father. Okay, the second temptation. It says that, and the devil taketh him on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Okay? And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and the glory and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I can give to whomever I wish. And the Lord's reply was, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, right? For it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve. We know that the devil wanted to give him that because he wanted him to worship him. Amen. So he checked the Lord's motive. Amen. The Lord is checking our motives every time. You know, are we doing this thing because we can get money? Are we involved with this thing because of some personal reason? And you can believe that just like he tempted the devil, he's tempting us too. Okay? Because we are a part of the kingdom. We are his extension. Amen? Amen? So the third temptation, this was a weird one. It says, verse 9, it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem, okay, set him on a high pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands shall they bear you up, unless you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus' reply was what? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. So the idea was this. He wanted to take Jesus on this big temple in Jerusalem where everyone's at. And he wanted him to throw himself off the cliff. And before he lands, the angel is supposed to come through and swoop him up. And then all the people will say, ooh, you are the Son of God. That's what he was referring to. Amen. And that's the same thing he does with us. He put us in a position whereby we want to tempt the Lord with the lust of the world and wondering why we can't get what we believe in God for. No, the Bible says that we can't conceive some of these things upon our lust. In other words, your heart has to be right about some issues. And being right means that you're following his righteousness, okay? You know what? I meant to give you the definition of that. I'll come to it, okay? So, okay, we saw the temptation part. So let me give you this, the definition of the kingdom priorities before I go any further. We know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 31. You go there. Matthew. Ta-da. Hallelujah. Are you there? Some of you got there before I did, right? Amen. Amen. Okay. We should know this by just quoting it. Matthew 6, verse 3. It's, verse 33. 31. Wait a minute. 33. 633. We should know it. We know this by heart. Okay. Anyway, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay. So, if you consider this, the Lord Jesus says for us, it didn't say to seek him first. He said to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, what things? Everything you need in life, whether it's emotional things, psychological things, physical things, you know, relationships restored, healing for your body, whatever you need. He said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. So let me give you a definition of the kingdom again. It says that the kingdom of God, it says that the kingdom of God refers to the governing influence of heaven on earth. Okay? That's what the kingdom refers to. God's governing influence on heaven. In other words, whatever's in heaven, healing, whatever, what Jesus performed all throughout the earth, he says that that's the influence of his kingdom. Okay. Now, righteousness represents, it says, it refers to your right alignment and positioning with that government authority. Well, we know that Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our what? It's faith that pleases God. Amen. Faith is synonymous with the word of God. Amen. It's interchangeable. It's the same. Jesus was the word made flesh. Amen. He spoke God's word. Okay, so when we align ourselves up in righteousness, position ourselves to the word of God and his authority, then we begin to receive all these things given to us freely by the Lord. Amen. Don't be condemned by any of this, because this message, this kingdom, this life is a process. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember when I accepted Christ when I was 21. I went to church all my life, and I was still, I was going to Bible studies and things like that, but I was still in the streets. You know, I was one of those guys who were partaking of the tree, of the leaves from the tree that provide healing for me. No. Marijuana. I was into all that mess. A lot of us was. Don't laugh. Okay. But anyway, but see, here's the thing. Even though I spent a lot of years learning that stuff. You know what I mean? So it just didn't stop. You know, it took time. But if you weighed out the balance, I begin to see the kingdom of God itching up a little higher and the world me coming down. And now it's been almost close to 40 years and it's still doing that. Yeah. So don't be condemned. God has not given you a spirit of condemnation here. Amen. If anything, he's going to convict us into wanting to do the right thing. You know, because here's the thing. The Bible says that the seed of God, the word of God is like an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed. The word of God. So when you plant it into you, amen, that which is corrupt also becomes incorrupt as you grow in the word of God. And you're going to see it. Well, many of you already know that. You know he's done some things in your life that you know it was by his grace in spite of what you did wrong, right? We know it was him. Amen. Because he loves us like that. Amen. So thank you, Lord. All right, so let's move on, okay? Okay, so let's go over to, we're going to continue the birth of Christ. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. Now, this is going to be a little reading, guys, but you just listen. Follow me, actually. Okay? And let's watch the work of this being transformed into life. Okay. Okay, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." Okay? That was his custom, to go into the synagogue and to get into the word. All right? It says, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Hallelujah. Verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." One. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Amen. "To proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." When he first came on the scene, Matthew said that he also says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," or "the kingdom of God is here." Amen. So we see now during this time, Isaiah prophesied this more than 700 years ago. Isaiah spoke this very thing. Now, Jesus said here, he says that the last thing, it says that, well, let me read this. It says that to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It says, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes were fixed upon him." And then he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. So when I went to precept this same scripture that Isaiah said, Isaiah went further than where Jesus closed the book. Isaiah went further saying that, "and to show the vengeance of the Lord." But I thought that was interesting that Jesus closed the book at "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, why? Because he was here. That prophecy was being fulfilled right now in their ears. And what was this prophecy? This is the condition that's going to change your life. And that is the anointing of God, the kingdom of God. He says he anointed the Lord Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Well, there were many poor. There's still poor people among us. He wasn't referring to them so much as being physically poor, but he was also dealing with them being poor in the spirit. Amen. We got to understand something, that the children of Israel who he was talking to, they were waiting for this kingdom to come from King David. I mean, all the way. And that was more than a couple. I don't know how long it was, but it was more than 1,000 years. I'm wrong. Anyway, they've been waiting that long period of time for the kingdom of God to come. Amen. So Jesus says, "It's here, it's now." And here's an interesting thing. He didn't promote himself. He promoted the kingdom of God as what's going to change your life, what's going to change the conditions in your life. Amen. So let's read on. Okay. I'm just staying in this chapter because I want to read a few more. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to go long with you guys, okay? All right, let me just read a couple more chapters. Then I'm going to read a few more scriptures about this kingdom. Then we'll move on, okay? So, now he began to say to the people there, he says that, "Hey, you're not going to accept what I'm trying to bring you, okay?" And after he said these things, they got mad and they didn't want to hear him. So the Bible says that he left there, okay? All right, so let's go on and see some of his works, okay? Thank you, Father. It says that, let me just read this. You don't have to read there. It says, wait a minute. Okay, here we go. It says, verse 28, let me read it. It says, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city." Amen. "And they led him to a brow on a hill on which, which their city was built, that they might throw him down off the cliff." It says, and then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Then he went down to Capernaum. Amen. And as soon as he got to verse 31, chapter 4, It says, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teachings, for with his, it says, for his words were with authority. Okay? Now it says, now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean spirit, a demon. It says, and he cried out with a loud voice to the Lord, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us yet? He says, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. As he went out to speak, the demons identified with who he was and asked, did you come to destroy us yet? The kingdom of God is on the scene now, right? Okay. And he cast him out. He says, be quiet and come out of the man. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Then he goes on. It says, 36 says, then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word of this. For with authority and power, he commanded unclean spirits and they came out. Amen. Let's go down to another situation. It says, then he came into Simon's wife's mother was sick. Okay, he's walking through the village there. And he went in, the Bible says that, and he healed her, and immediately she rose up and began to minister to them. Okay, now when we push down again, it says that, and it says, verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Amen. Demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. So after that situation, the people in the village was trying to compel him to stay. But Jesus said in verse 43, he says that I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because this purpose have I been sent. Amen. So he goes through all these other cities preaching the kingdom of God. He went by a lake there. Peter and his crew was there cleaning their nets. He said, hey, let me get in one of your boats. Push me out into the water, because he wanted to preach to the people. He began to preach to the people. And when he finished, he told Peter, he says, cast your net out on the side. Okay. Peter says, well, Lord, we've been fishing all day, all night. We hadn't caught anything, but at your word. He threw his net out. The Bible says he pulled up boatloads of fish. Amen. And when this happened, this is what Peter said. Verse 8, chapter 5. He says, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Amen. Saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But that wasn't on the Lord's mind. Because down verse 10, verse 9, it says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Okay. It says this. It says, and Jesus said to Simon, after he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He says, do not be afraid. Verse 10. He says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Okay. And you see that transition. Because he caught all these fish and he spoke with power, he dropped to his knees and asked the Lord, say, depart from me. No, I'm not going to depart from you. You're the reason why I came. And he says, from this day forward, you're not going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. Jesus couldn't do this work by himself then. He can't do it by himself today. Okay? We're involved with this plan, all right? Okay, let me skip down again. It says that, so when they had brought their boat, verse 11, to land, they forsook all and followed him. Hallelujah. Take you to the scripture. I wrote it down. It was so good. Thank you, Lord. Where's my scripture at? Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to God. Matthew, 14th chapter, verses 30. Let's say Matthew 13. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46.
Let me read it. Now, this is what the disciples experienced when they left all to follow the Lord. It says that again, now the Lord is describing this kingdom. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Okay? The man found the treasure. Amen? It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen? So in other words, he's saying that when you find the kingdom of God, it's going to be like a precious, valuable pearl. He says, once you find it, he says that you're going to take everything you had, whatever you had possessed before. He says, you're going to take it and leave it and go and buy that kingdom. Amen. I mean, amen. That's awesome. Okay. So listen, I'm not going to carry no further because it's long already. All right. So what I want to do is just read some scriptures to you about the kingdom of heaven. All right. We got the point. Am I right? Okay. Somebody said, yep. Okay. Let's start with how this kingdom was conferred to mankind. I want to go to John chapter 18. I'm not going to elaborate on a lot of these verses. I'm just going to read them out. Okay. You need to hear them. Chapter 18, verses 36 and 37. This was Jesus' conversation with Pilate when the Jews was preparing to crucify him. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 33. It says, then Pilate came in and called Jesus and said to him, are you a king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate says, am I a Jew? He says, your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Pilate asked him if he was a king. Jesus goes on to say, verse 36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, not the Romans, to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Amen. Jesus says, he identified the fact that he was a king. And he said, Pilate, yeah, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. But he did not say that my kingdom was not in the world. Amen? There's a difference here. We need to understand that, okay? Let me go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 19. All right, give a couple more scriptures, then I'm going to let you out. Matthew 16. Are you all okay? Okay, good, okay. Amen. 16:19. This is when Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was, okay? Lord, whom the men say I am? Some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then he said, well, whom do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, in flesh and blood, Peter has not revealed that to you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he says, and upon the rock of a revelation, upon that revelation of who I am, Lord, to you, Peter, he says that he's going to build his kingdom, his church. And then it says, and this is what he says about the church. He says that, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Amen? Okay, so now we have the power of binding and loosing. Where? Not up in heaven. On earth here. Because earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He said the earth belongs to him, but the heavens belong to him, but the earth has he given it to the sons of man. Amen? A couple more scriptures, okay? Let's go to, this is a good one. Luke, I'm missing a lot of them, so I'm just going to go to this one. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Hallelujah. All right, Luke 22, verse 29. Now, this is when they was trying to discuss on who was going to be the greater in the kingdom, you know, the disciples. And Jesus told them, he says that, verse 27, he says, for who is greater, he who sits at the table, at the head of the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the head of the table? Yeah, he's the greater one. Right. It says, yet I, the Lord, I am among you as one who serves. Yeah. So he squashed that little hierarchy situation in his kingdom.
He says, no, if you want to be the greatest, then you're the ones who's going to serve like he did.
Amen. And then in verse 29, he says, I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my father has bestowed upon me.
Hallelujah. You see how he connects us with him?
And this is today. He says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now he's talking way into the future now,
but it does apply to today. Amen. The scripture says, behold, he has given us authority to tread over demons and devils and over all the power of the enemies. Nothing shall by any means harm you. That's your covenant right. That's your inheritance. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. Quote a couple other scriptures. If you want to see me at the church, I'll give them to you. You can go home and look at them. Let me end with this last scripture or two. Two more scriptures. Go to Revelations, because now we're going to talk about the kingdom in its fullness. Okay. Revelations chapter 21. I love this. This really blew my mind. Thank you. Are you there? Okay. It reads, now this is John, and he had a vision. Amen. By an angel, I guess. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had what?
Passed away.
He says, also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the what? New Jerusalem, coming where?
Down.
From where? Out of heaven. For God prepared, it says, from heaven. God, it says, Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Three things there. A new earth, a new heaven, and a what? The city, Jerusalem. Not that Jerusalem that's going on now. He's talking about the real Jerusalem, amen? He said he saw that coming down. Where? To this earth. This was God's purpose and plan from the beginning. And God changes not. He's going to accomplish that which he's spoken in you, in me. Amen?
Through the scriptures. Amen?
Okay, let me read the rest because this is good. It says, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Hallelujah. For the former things have passed away. He says, then he who sat on the throne said, hallelujah, behold, I make all things new. Amen. He says, and he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, he says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, and I am the Omega, Tav. the beginning and the end. He says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Hallelujah. That's the church. He says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son or my daughter.
He's talking about us, church.
The scripture says that God says, I will establish a new covenant with my people, says the Lord. He says, I will put my laws into their heart and write them into their minds, and I shall be their God, and they shall be my people, and I will forgive their sins, and their sins no more. Amen. Well, hallelujah. In other words, we have complete forgiveness at the expense, not the expense, but the value of the precious blood of Jesus. So we have an incorruptible word of God in us. We're not looking to sin. We've developed some bad habits that the Lord is shifting and changing our mindset. You know, we can't have the mindset of the world anymore because faith won't work in the world system. You know, even today we got some laws going on here about
marriage. And what's a marriage? And we're making them laws. You mean male, male, female, female. That's not in the kingdom of God. You know, we can't access the kingdom in that mess. Okay? You got some people who got confused with their gender, thinking that they're pastors preaching the word of God. Not in his kingdom. Now, I'm not condemning no one, but we got to set the record straight. And it's not with just that issue. It's with lying, stealing, murmuring, complaining, not helping, not having this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, and that is helping your brother. It's all that. But praise the Lord, we have that incorruptible seed in us. Amen. We have the Spirit of truth in us, who is transforming our lives into the image of Christ. Amen. Amen. So thank God for that. Okay, last scripture, and we're going to close, saints. Okay, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. You know, I thought this a lot. Not a lot, but it did come across my mind. You know, you always want to know what happened with Adam and all that stuff. How everything, you know, show us a clip, Father, of all that stuff, right? Well, verse 17 in Isaiah 65 reads this. Are you there? It says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Have you ever thought about, well, you know, how things is going to, you know, I want to see what happened before. No, no, not in this new heaven and new earth. The Bible says that it's not going to come to your mind. Amen. Because we're going to be in a new glorious kingdom, which God has prepared for us from the beginning. Amen. Well, that's all I have for you, church. I'm sorry I took up a little more time than I needed, but praise God, you got the point, right? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, amen? Greater is he who lives in you than he that is within the world, amen? The Bible says that Jesus has baptized us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When we look at the evidence of that baptism of fire, the scripture says that when the disciples was praying in the upper room, the scripture says that the Spirit of God came down upon them in the form as a fire, cloven fire, and it set upon them. And they began to speak in a heavenly language. There were more than, this was at the feast, and there was more than 18 different dialects there. And these 120 people, out of all these people who were at the feast, they, that language that these people, that the 12 were speaking in, was the language of tongues, and it says that they interpret those speeches as glorifying the Lord God. All these different languages, the Lord is the highest, greatly to be praised. That's what they were getting when they heard this noise abroad. Okay, this language that the good Lord has given us is designed to empower us for service. Yeah, you're born again, we're going on into the kingdom, but as we saw, Jesus couldn't do this by himself. Hallelujah. He needed a body. We are an extension of him. So there are many of you who've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But some of you may not have been baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen? Amen. Amen. This gift that the Lord has given us is designed to empower you for service. You're doing good right now, but there's more. And that more comes by the receiving the power of the Spirit. Amen. So, Pastor, can I offer this? Amen. Okay. So, there are many of you, some music. There are many of you who receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. But we haven't gone the extra mile to ask if we can receive this gift, the power, this prayer language that we can use praying in our own closet. The scripture says that when we pray in this language, it says that we're praying God's perfect will for our lives. It don't have to be something out loud and out front. It can be in your closet. And I guarantee you, when you receive this gift, you're going to see your life begin to change at a much more rapid pace. Not that we're trying to speed anything up. Amen. Hallelujah. So if there's anybody in there who would like to receive the gift, the fire, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come on up and let's pray together. Amen. All we have to do is ask the Lord and say, "Lord, I received your power. I received your gift. Hallelujah. Anoint me." Hallelujah. You're born again. You're good. You're going to make it. But we have some work to do. Amen. And the only way we can do this work is if we're being empowered. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you thanks, Lord God. Well, for those of you who hadn't received the Lord, those who have accepted this gift, I just want to encourage you that if you haven't been using it, continue to use it, because the day is going to come when this great deception is going to present itself more serious than we've ever seen it before. The scripture says that had it not been that the Lord had sped time up, he says even the very elect would be deceived. Okay? Well, this praying in this language is going to help us to be able to discern spiritual deception along with everything else. Amen? So I encourage you, pray in their language. Give your time. Brother Hatterberg always says that's the first thing you do in the morning. Stand up. Hallelujah. For now is the time, says the Lord, that I have equipped you, hallelujah, with fire from above. I have presented you to the world as a light of my kingdom, says the Lord. For I have brought you through the fire, hallelujah, and purified you as gold, says the Lord, that you may bring an offering of sacrifice and worship unto me. So go ye therefore, hallelujah, Lord, go ye therefore and proclaim the works of the kingdom with assurance and confidence, knowing that I will back everything that you say, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Might have been too long.
Hold on. I'll show you what to do with this. That's the hold button. Turn that off.
Okay.